Support for UpToDate is provided by Geisinger, providing world-class care for our community, here where it matters.
Hello and welcome to UpToDate from WVIA News. I'm Sarah Cinto, here to keep you up to date on all the news you should know about. Today, Scranton officials want to ban an unregulated substance that's growing in popularity. And tens of thousands of Pennsylvanians are dropping their health insurance as costs rise. It's Tuesday, April 7th. Let's get into it. We'll start in Scranton today. You might remember bath salts and the shocking stories about people who took them several years ago. Well, as WVIA's Boris Krauchenyuk reports, local officials are worried about a new unregulated threat from a substance called kratom.
The Scranton City Council plans to introduce ordinances Tuesday night that would ban the sale and possession of kratom within the city. Kratom comes from a plant native to Southeast Asia, and it's widely available in local vape and convenience stores. Opponents say it's increasingly potent and potentially deadly and largely unregulated nationwide. City Councilman Patrick Flynn is pushing Scranton's ban and hoping other towns pass their own.
More and more treatment providers are reporting cases of people struggling with kratom dependence. As a city, we have a responsibility to get ahead of problems before they become full-blown crises.
One ordinance would ban sales, production, and possession. The other bans sales to and possession by minors. Violators face up to a $300 fine and 90 days in jail for each offense. Addiction Treatment Center operator Joe Van Wee said he's seen severe withdrawal symptoms lasting up to 2 months, far longer than opioids.
This is no longer a plant discussed in closed circles. This is a multi-billion dollar industry producing concentrated, engineered substances designed for maximum effect and maximum dependency.
Van Wee and Lackawanna County District Attorney Brian Gallagher did not cite statistics on how widespread kratom addiction is. Gallagher said a person died from an overdose last year in Carbon County.
And we're responding to real incidents here in the city of Scranton and Lackawanna County, including numerous emergency calls from parents whose teenagers have suffered the adverse medical reactions of products purchased openly at retail settings.
I'm Boris Krauchenyuk, WVIA News.
Thanks, Boris. Find more of this story at WVIA.org. So, it may seem like everything costs more lately, including health insurance premiums. That's part of why more than 120,000 Pennsylvanians have dropped health insurance coverage through the state's marketplace this year. Premium spikes and the loss of federal subsidies are playing a role. For WVIA, Nicole Leonard spoke to a woman who's newly uninsured after getting priced out of coverage.
Lacey Cassidy lives just outside of Reading with her husband and two kids. And these days, she's cautious about anything that could lead to an injury or illness and require medical care.
If I go somewhere with my kids, I'm just trying to be conscious, like, don't roll your ankle, like, don't do anything, you know.
Cassidy and her husband paid about $80 a month for insurance last year. With the premium rate hikes and loss of some federal subsidies, she was looking at a $450 monthly bill this year. So she canceled coverage.
With high mortgages, we had to find what was more important right there. And unfortunately, just me not having insurance had to go down.
State insurance officials say they expect more people to drop coverage in the coming months as costs become too great. They're also worried about how this could impact the state's uninsured rates for the long term.
That was Nicole Leonard reporting. Stay with us. There's more up to date after this break.
The work we do is only possible thanks to your support. I'm Lydia McFarlane, healthcare reporter for WVIA News. We're proud to bring you the best news and information out there. Go to WVIA.org/news to see for yourself.
Welcome back. And now it's time for the latest bookmarks. And this one is a special edition. Reading is a lifelong pursuit, and for many of us, it starts with the books read to us as children. For some recommendations on the best books for kids, we decided to ask the experts. Teresa Luvender's kindergarten class at Pittston Area Primary Center. Enjoy.
Hi, I'm Teresa Luvender. I'm a kindergarten teacher at the Pittston Area Primary Center. And my favorite book to read to my students every year is called Thank You, Mr. Falker by Patricia Polacco. And it's basically just a story about a little girl who has a learning disability but doesn't realize it. And she struggles in school until she meets Mr. Falker. And Mr. Falker kind of makes some adaptations for her and plays on all of her strengths and things like that and just kind of teaches her how to overcome those learning disabilities as she goes on, which also then makes her become more accepted by the rest of the kids and things like that. So I read that story at the end of every school year just to try to remind my kids that not everybody learns the same way. And moving forward, sometimes, you know, things are going to be hard, but you're going to find people to help you through it, and you're going to count on them, and you're just going to work a little bit harder.
Hi, my name is Alex Reese, and I like Give a Moose a Muffin because I like muffins.
Hi, my name's Delaney, and my book is Pete the Cat, because in one book he was super funny.
Do you like all the Pete the Cat books?
Yeah. Hi, my name is Kyrell. This is why I like books. My favorite book is the Easter one.
What's the Easter one about?
It's about finding the Easter Bunny because it's a really, really good book. Hi, my name is Ellie. I like Cat in the Hat because he does adventures.
Hi, my name is Natalie Rochelle Reese, and I like the book The Artist Who Painted a Blue Horse because I like art.
What book is that? Is that the Dragon D Tacos?
My name is Cypher, and I get my book, the book, because I like how I eat the tacos, and then they say it's spicy.
Hi, I'm Kyle. I like Ninja Turtle because I watched it. Because there was one in my class.
Who's your favorite Ninja Turtle?
Mikey.
My name is Madeline Hughes. I like Pinkalicious because I bought it. Because the one girl with the purple, I love that part so much. And in the winter, they sled together.
Hi, my name is Aurora Lynn Lawrence. My favorite book is If You Give a Moose a Muffin, because it's funny.
Hi, my name is Eliana, and I like the kitty book because it's so good, because the kitty gives birth and it's so cute.
Hi, my name is Brock, and I like Cat in the Hat because he does funny things in the book.
What was the funny thing that you liked the most?
Him doing funny dances.
My name is Landon Farrell, and I like a Ninja Turtle book, and I like Mikey because they're cool.
Hi, my name is Veda. My favorite book is all of them.
Hi, everyone. Sarah Cinto here. I couldn't help chiming in this week to highlight one of my favorite books as a kid. It's an underappreciated classic that deserves its time in the spotlight, at least in my opinion. Blanche and Smitty by Michelle Malkin is a quirky, fun story about a girl named Blanche and the cat she receives as a gift one day. She knows his name is Smitty because, of course, he has his own bowling shirt with his name on it. I don't know how many times I asked my parents to read this little book about these two unlikely friends figuring out how to live with one another. All these years later, some lines from the book are still part of our family lexicon of jokes. In between the goofy, charming illustrations and quips, there's a lesson on figuring out how to get along with anyone you meet, no matter how different they may seem. And most importantly, that coffee ice cream settles the stomach. I've yet to meet anyone else who remembers this weird little book, so if you do, please let me know. That's all for this edition of Bookmarks. Join us again on April 18th. April is National Poetry Month, so I'll be looking for your favorite poets. Want to talk about a book you love? Email me at sarahsinto@wvia.org with bookmarks in the subject line. All right, one last thing for today. Let's take a look back at this week in history with WVIA's Julie Sidoni.
This week in history, a brief look at some of the biggest happenings here at home and around the world, April 6th through the 12th. We begin in Lackawanna County, where this week in 1911, a fire at the Pancoast Mine and Troop kills 72 miners. The tragedy leads to new legislation requiring specific materials for buildings in mines. 1917, a declaration of war against Germany. America this week formally enters World War I. In 1979, Houston Astros pitcher Ken Forsch throws a no-hitter, notable because his brother Bob had done the same for the St. Louis Cardinals the year before. They're the first and only brothers to pitch no-hitters in MLB history. And in 2003, U.S. forces this week take down a statue of Saddam Hussein in Baghdad's town square, a symbolic end to the Iraqi president's reign. That's This Week in History. I'm Julie Sidoni, WVIA News.
So, how are we feeling? All caught up and ready for the day? Find more stories at WVIA.org. I'm Sarah Sinto. Thanks for hanging out with me today. We're here every weekday, so make sure you subscribe and tune in so you don't miss anything. Have a great day, everyone. I'll catch you tomorrow, right here on Up to Date.